Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Thursday, March 17th, 2022. This is the Senate Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee. We've got six bills on the calendar for today. But before we get started, I'm gonna call the roll. Mr. Woolridge.
Chair Newman.
Present.
Vice Chair Jasinski.
Here.
Sandra Dibble.
Here.
Sandra Carlson. Sandra Coleman.
Here.
Sandra Howe.
Present.
Sandra Johnson Stewart. Sandra Kent.
Here.
Sandra Kiffmeyer.
Present.
Sandra McEwen. Sandra Osmick.
Here.
Sandra Pratt.
Here.
Sandra Carlson. Sandra McEwen.
Thank you, Mr. Woolridge. We do have a quorum, so we will we're going to proceed. And members, all of the bills that we hear today will be simply laid over. We will begin with Senate File 1003, Senator Howe. Senator Howe, whenever you are ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members, this is a bill to provide for an air metal license plate. To put you in perspective, we currently have license plates for many of the awards that military members get, most notably the Bronze Star plate actually is at the same level as the Air Medal, and we do not have an Air Medal plate. Well, the Air Medal was established by Roosevelt, and it actually can be awarded for meritorious or gallantry in combat with a pilot, both for the Air Force and for the Army. So both services award it. The Army can currently award it for every 6 months for meritorious service in a flight status. But I think what it does, there's a number of folks out there that have been requesting that they see a Bronze Star plate out there on a vehicle, and here they've got a medal that is at equal level of importance, and they do not have an opportunity to have that license plate. So that's what this would do, would provide those folks that have an equal level of an award to be able to show folks that they have been awarded an air medal. So with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Thank you, Senator Howe. Members, any questions on Senate File 1003? Seeing none, anything further, Senator Howe, before I lay your bill over?
No, I appreciate it. I've been contacted by a number of folks. This is very important to some of the members of our military, and greatly appreciate you being able to present the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. With that, the Senate File 1003 is laid over. Next bill up on the calendar is Senate File 3926, Senator Kunesh. Senator Kunesh, welcome to the Transportation Committee. I see you have one testifier. Is your testifier in the room?
She is.
Or is she virtual?
I think she had planned to testify virtually.
That's just fine. Senate File 3926, Senator Kunesh, please proceed whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you all for this opportunity to present this this bill to you this afternoon. This bill establishes a special license plate that is specifically to acknowledge and recognize the missing and murdered Indigenous relatives here in Minnesota. And it's a very unique license plate in that it is sort of the continuation of legislation that we began a number of years ago. In 2017, I listened to the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force, the national task force in Canada, and then heard the extremely heartbreaking story of Savannah Graywin LaFontaine in North Dakota, a young woman who had been lured into her neighbor's apartment, 8 months pregnant, Native American woman. She was murdered and her baby was cut from her womb and her body was thrown into the river. This is an example of the missing and murdered Indigenous tragedy that has happened generation after generation. And with that, I came back to the Capitol in that summer and put together with the Native community the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force. And we being the Minnesota House of Representatives and the Senate, passed that legislation to create the task force in 2019. And in spite of COVID, we worked very hard and put together and completed a very comprehensive, the most comprehensive report on missing and murdered Indigenous women at the state level than any other state. It is a 154 page report that talks about and lays out the historic tragedies of our missing and murdered relatives here in Minnesota, including some of the more heartbreaking facts. And I'm just going to share one of them with you here, a couple of them with you. Here in Minnesota, even though American Indian women and girls make up just 1% of our state population, anywhere between the years of 2010 and 2018, 8% of the murdered women and girls in Minnesota were Native American. Between 2012 and 2020, anywhere between 27 to 54 American Indian women and girls in Minnesota were missing in any given month. That's not an annual, that's a monthly situation. And we were able to identify a number of root causes, acknowledging the risk factors for Indigenous women and girls. And then we came up with a set of recommendations or mandates as a result of this report. And one of the very first mandates is to create a permanent office for the missing and murdered Indigenous relatives here in Minnesota. And again, Minnesota led the way in the nation and created that office just last year. This month, we were able to begin the executive director's position in that office, and there will be three more staff members in that office to continue to address the mandates and the recommendations that we have within our task force report. So that brings me to this bill that creates a unique, none ever in the nation, a license plate that recognizes the MMIR movement here in Minnesota. I asked that the license plate would depict a ribbon skirt. It's a traditional cultural skirt that Native women wear oftentimes daily, but especially on significant occasions, and also a red hand. If you have followed this movement at all, you'll see that the red hand, and oftentimes it's painted over the mouth of a Native woman, represents the missing and murdered Indigenous women across the nation, across the world as well. The unique thing about this license plate is that those fees that are collected, a portion of it would go into a fund that is located inside of the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office that would help fund a reward pool of money. I have another bill that is waiting to be heard to create that reward pool. And I received that, I got that inspiration for the reward pool from the city of Duluth and the work that they did up there and created their own reward system to tease out the information and facts around some of the folks that are still missing, some that are missing for decades still. And we have not found closure for the families or brought peace to the community. So my request is to be able to create this license plate, ensuring that those funds would go into a reward pool that would not only support the information gleaning to help these families in these communities, but also to support the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office.
You caught me writing.
Take your time.
And you have Ms. Kozlowski is on the Zoom. I'm not seeing her yet.
Okay.
There you are.
There she is.
You just appeared. Welcome to the committee. If you would identify yourself for the record, tell us with whom you are associated, and then please proceed.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. My name is Alicia Kozlowski. I am with the city of Duluth, and I think that was it. Good afternoon. I am here on behalf, as I said, the city of Duluth. I'm also with the Gagigay Mikwendagoziwug Reward Fund Committee, which is the reward fund that Senator Kunish mentioned. It means they will be remembered forever. Thank you for your time and for the opportunity to speak with you all here on members of the Minnesota State Senate Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee. My Ojibwe name is Ozawa Anakwadukwe. My English name is Alicia Kozlowski, and I'm really humbled to be here. As Senator Kunish shared, there are 27 to 54 Indigenous people missing on any given month in Minnesota alone. And a recent study by the Urban Indian Health Institute revealed only 116 of the 5,712 cases of murdered and missing Native women across the country were even logged into the Department of Justice's nationwide database. And of those cases, 70% were declined due to lack of evidence. The Sovereign Bodies Institute is an Indigenous-led organization that cares for a national MMIR database that does track victim information, perpetrator information, type of violence, as well as information about the police and court response, such as reward fund dollar amounts, if any, geography within the U.S., whether it occurred on tribal, rural, or urban lands. And that is the database that is cared for by Indigenous people, as I mentioned. The statistics, as we know, are staggering and difficult, but these aren't just statistics. To us, these are our moms, our aunties, our sisters, our cousins, your neighbors, your community members. And one of those relatives is Sheila St. Clair, and who has been missing from Duluth for 6 years. And with Sheila as our original inspiration and fueled by hope for those who have been missing for many years or who have been murdered or who were found deceased, such as Penny Robertson, the city of Duluth, Mending the Sacred Hoop, and Native Lives Matter Coalition did establish the Gagigay Mikwendagoziwug MMIW Reward Fund here in Duluth in January 2022. This is the first fund of its kind. And so often as we do in Minnesota, we are blazing new ground to fill this crucial gap to promote justice, accountability, and healing. And we are truly creating the road as we're driving on it. It gives families renewed hope and a missing link on the investigative side that financial incentives offered through this new fund will yield those critical clues as to what happened to our missing Indigenous women, girls, and gender expansive peoples. When people are missing, we know that we change the story of families and we change a narrative of what hope is. We're leaving questions unanswered and stories untold. I know if any of us had a lost family member who had gone missing, we would do whatever we possibly could to find them. And sometimes, as we've learned, people have information and they're terrified to give it. Or maybe their kids went, they witnessed something that has occurred. And so the money doesn't bring somebody back. It doesn't pay them off. But it does let them know that there's value and that there's support as they're opening up and sharing what they know in their being to help bring our relatives home. Native women don't just go missing. We know that people out there have information. And we know that this isn't even just an indigenous issue, it's a human issue. When any of us are dehumanized, we're all dehumanized. And we know that we're all carrying parts of the MMIW epidemic lodged in our stomach and lodged in our hearts forever. And our indigenous communities have every epidemic from colonization that you can name, but the flip side is we are fierce, we are strong, and we are resilient. And we want to move together towards healing and promote healing in our region and across our state. And that's going to take continued collective raising of our consciousness, continued action and investments to really tackle this epidemic. And Senate File 3926 puts values into actionable steps that really will reverberate across our shared home of Minnesota, that we are valued, we are seen, and we are sacred. And we truly believe that it's time for what we see, for everybody to know and to see that Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit people are born leaders, that we are matriarchs, and that we deserve to thrive with dignity, love, and respect. And as we're so proud of the investments in critical wildlife habitat and scholarship fund initiatives through these specialty plates, we ask that you make it possible now for people to show support for MMIR, especially to financially support this reward pool fund in the MMI office. So when people are in parking lots or they're driving down the road, they might get curious. They might Google MMIR, start conversations in their community, and take collective action. So it's one more way to get the message out there and to support this fund to help address the epidemic. It's one more visual sign of support that we know is not done for every single cause. And so for it to rise to that level shows one more way that the state of Minnesota is prioritizing the health and the safety of all peoples in Minnesota. So with that, we're ready for the Minnesota Senate to pass Senate File 3926. Our daughters, my daughter, our relatives are counting on us. And thank you again for your time and your transformational role in creating a Minnesota where we can all thrive. Miigwech.
Thank you for your testimony. Before we go to member questions, I just got a couple questions, Senator Kunesh. And your testifier hit on, I think, the basic question that I have is, you know, this is a human issue. And I wonder why we should pick a particular ethnic group to target for purposes of helping. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there is a similar problem going on in, say, the Asian community or the Hispanic community. And I'd just like to know your thoughts because, you know, in my mind, it doesn't make any difference what group mm-hmm. women and children are coming from. And I'm just, why are we singling out one ethnic group that are being abused and kidnapped and murdered rather than trying to expand it into a larger group? Your thoughts, Senator Kunesh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I agree with you. It's I knew that going into working on this MMIW, it was not unique to just our Native women. And I myself am of Native descent. My grandfather and my mother were enrolled members of the Standing Rock Nation. And we heard those stories from our relatives and others, you know, all my life. And so when I saw this opportunity to address some of the historic trauma and pain from my own relatives and my ancestors, that's how I focused on it. And it was the beginning of a movement across the nation. I'm not going to lie. I did add to this movement. But I also know, and I knew then, that this is not unique to just Native women. We know that especially Native women and African American women experience violence, horrific violence, and lack of resources than any other group of people in our state and probably in our nation. As a result of that, sometimes you want to take care of everything right away with everyone. And I knew that that wasn't something that I was either equipped to do or had enough information to do in order to advocate for all women, all girls, all men, all Two-Spirit folks. So I focused on what I know best, and that's our Indigenous community. But I also last year partnered with Representative Ruth Richardson, and we created the first, again in the nation, Missing and Murdered African American Women Task Force. And I sit on that task force now, and we are going through the same process that we did with the MMIW Task Force. I just read a tweet from Representative Richardson that they are now looking at doing this at the national level for African American women. So it's not that I'm trying to exclude anybody, but one of the mandates within our recommendations within our task force is to continue the education and the awareness of this tragedy for our Native women. And the inspiration came to me driving to the Capitol one morning when I was looking at all the different license plate. I thought, I'd like to see a ribbon skirt on that one. And then that was my inspiration. So I don't mean in any way to exclude any group or devalue anybody else's trauma and tragedy historically, but to address what I know and what I would like to move forward.
Well, thank you for that, Senator. And in no way am I trying to diminish what you are trying to do. Mm-hmm. I think it's a bit of an unusual platform to hear this in the Transportation Committee, but I thought it was pretty important that we take a look at it. I'm a lot more interested in the topic than I am the license plate, to be quite honest. And I would simply encourage you that as you move forward, rather than looking at this from a standpoint of you're excluding someone, mm-hmm. it really doesn't matter where the women come from.
Yep.
I would encourage you to look at it more from an inclusive standpoint.
Sure.
I think it's sometimes better to be inclusive rather than exclusive. Nothing wrong with what you are trying to do at all.
Yep.
But I know in my heart that there are other groups of women, could be African American, could be white, mm-hmm. doesn't matter.
Right.
So those are just my thoughts. The only other question I had, Senator, the fund that this money goes into, I understand, will support the MMIR office and offer rewards. Mm-hmm. Very quickly, because we're going to get cramped for time, the oversight of that money. Can you tell us what type of oversight there will be to make sure the money is spent as we wish it to be?
Sure. The funds that would be gleaned from this, from the license plates, would go into that office, that state government office, and it would be one of the tasks of the executive director would be to set up that fund and put in the parameters and the safeguards to ensure that those funds are being used in the way that they were intended to do.
Do you know whether the state auditor would be auditing this?
That has not been determined at this point, but I certainly would, as we work forward and move on creating this fund, that is certainly something that I would be more than happy to put in there so that there is never a question of impropriety with these funds.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciated your initial question to Senator Kunesh. And I appreciated her response. But I'll just note that there is some sort of a phenomenon that's unique, which I don't totally understand, and I haven't fully read the report, and so I don't understand the nature of the, oops, I suppose I need to keep that up so I stay on camera. Unique to the Native community, African-American community. And I'll just where these things happen and they don't get the kind of attention on the part of the larger public, on the part of those who are tasked with helping, you know, professionally with these situations. I don't know why, there's just a lot of incidents of this. And I'll just remind members of a national story last year that everyone seemed to pay a lot of attention to, of I think her name was Gabrielle Petito, something like that. Mm-hmm. Who was a member of the majority community, white woman, and everyone was completely fascinated with that story as it unfolded, and ultimately it ended up to be a tragic ending, and the whole thing was terrible. The same hasn't happened with missing women of minority communities. So somehow, organically, inherently, some cases get a lot of attention on the part of the public and professional responders, and others don't. And so I appreciate the efforts of Senator Kunesh and now working with Representative Richardson to at least start talking about some of the disparities and deficiencies, not to say that the situation with Gabrielle Petito and any other woman isn't well deserving of all of our full attention and a full-throated response on the part of the professionals who are tasked with helping out in those situations. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. And Senator Dibble, Senator Kunesh, I agree with Senator Dibble. There is something going on here. I truly don't understand it. I've looked at the report that you sent. I haven't read the whole thing. It was kind of long.
Yeah.
But I got through the summary part.
Yeah.
And I'm beginning to learn, and that really is why we're here today. It may be something I should have been aware of or more aware of in the past, and so that's why we're here now, is because I agree with Senator Dibble. There's statistically, anyhow, mm-hmm. there's something really odd going on here, and I just don't know what it is. Senator Kent.
Thank you.
You're online. Go ahead, Senator Kent.
Thank you. I'll be brief. I know time is an issue here today, but just, Mr. Chair, to sort of address your question about the issue of being inclusive, the one thing I would say about these license plates, and we have had many conversations about these in different subject areas, is they are by design very specific. I was looking through Senator Howe's bill that we just heard, and if you look at the current statute language, there are a lot of specific categories that are included. I think about a breast cancer license plate, and there are others. So within this particular world, it is the practice when there is a group that has a particular concern to come to us and ask to be able to do these, and they do tend to be fairly specific. That doesn't mean that there's not good reason to consider doing it for other groups as well. But I just wanted to offer that perspective, having sat in on a lot of these conversations over the years.
Thank you, Senator Kent. And so members understand, I honestly have never been a great fan of license plates or this topic. And when I made that comment about inclusion, mm-hmm. I wasn't talking about license plates. I was talking about the greater issue. So mm-hmm. I think that we have exhausted our questions and comments. Any quick final words, Senator Kunesh?
Well, I do appreciate the quick turnaround and the opportunity to share this with you. And just as you acknowledge, there's such a lack of understanding and information and an awareness around these tragedies, not just for our Native women, but for so many other groups. And a license plate such as this, again, is very unique, very specific to an awareness. Part of the reason of having this license plate is to be able to fund the pool, the reward pool, so that we don't always have to rely on the state government. The reward pool would actually be open to organizations and individuals to donate to, but this is certainly a way for Minnesota to acknowledge this the situation and to do a little bit more in addressing the historic trauma of our Native folks. So I really do appreciate this time and opportunity. And if any one of you have any more questions, I'm happy to share all the information I have with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kunesh. With that, Senate file 3926 is laid over. Thank you,
Senator. Thank you so much.
Next bill on the agenda is Senate file 2649, Senator Coleman. My apologies, Senator Coleman. Your file, Senate file 2649. Senator Coleman, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I am so excited to present legislation to authorize a special license plate for the Minnesota Vikings Foundation. I know of so many Vikings fans who would love the opportunity to support the charitable work of the Minnesota Vikings Foundation. This is a great way to support our team and help our community address issues like food insecurity and the digital divide across the state. The Minnesota Vikings Foundation has complied with all the requirements in the statute, submitting their application to the Department of Public Safety last fall. This is not a new idea. 24 of the 32 NFL team foundations currently have these special plates in their respective states. Minnesota requires legislative approval for these kinds of special license plates, which is why we are in committee today with this proposal. And Mr. Chair, I do have Mr. Brett Tabor with the Vikings Foundation here with me today to talk more about their work.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Tabor, please identify yourself for the record with whom you are associated and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Brett Tabor. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Vikings Foundation. Thank you to you and all the committee members for hearing us here today. Again, I am pleased to be here to support Senate File 2649, and thank you to Senator Coleman for her enthusiastic support of this bill that will authorize a special license plate for the Minnesota Vikings Foundation, with all the proceeds going to the community to advance youth health and education initiatives. With the passage of this legislation, motorists across the state of Minnesota can help make a measurable difference in the lives of youth and families by leveraging their passion and fandom for the Minnesota Vikings. But let me be clear, none of the funds from the special license plate are going to the Minnesota Vikings football team or its ownership. It's all directed to the Minnesota Vikings Foundation, which is a public charity registered here in the state of Minnesota that supports programs like our Vikings Table food truck, which delivers healthy meals and nutrition education to thousands of Minnesotans, and programs to improve the digital access to students across the state. We also support over 20 different nonprofit organizations focused on youth health and education here in Minnesota. The foundation submitted an application, as Senator Coleman said, with the Department of Public Safety last fall in compliance with all statutory requirements governing the special place license plate process. One of those requirements was a market survey, which showed significant excitement and interest for Minnesotans to give back to our community in this way. Currently, 19 other states have authorized special license plates to support 24 other NFL team foundations, and now we're asking for your support and helping to make this a reality in Minnesota and help change the lives of young people throughout our state. Thank you, and happy to answer any questions that any of you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Tabor. Senator, you have another individual at the testifying table to answer questions or to testify?
To answer questions, Mr. Chair.
You're not on my list, so you want to testify, just tell us your name and with whom you are associated, and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Pull the mic right in close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Elizabeth Hackbarth. I'm the Minnesota Vikings Foundation Development Manager, and I'm here just to answer questions.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Tabor, I had some of my colleagues kind of laughing at me a few minutes ago because I indicated I wasn't all that crazy about license plates. And here's why. We have license plate requests lined up around the block. And once we announced that we are going to hold a hearing on the Vikings license plates, we have now heard from all of the other sports, professional sports in the state of Minnesota. And, you know, it does create somewhat of a backlog. And so my question is has the Vikings and the Twins and the Timberwolves and the Wild, you know, all the various professional sports, have you ever entertained the idea like they do in Wisconsin, where they will have a license plate with all of the professional sports listed on one plate, or have an option where fans could buy just a plate for their favorite team, so it'd be an option? Has that ever been considered by the Vikings or any of the other sports teams that you are aware of?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not aware of whether or not what Wisconsin does, you know, with their plate on all the teams. I do know that the other teams here in Minnesota are interested in this same sort of plate. The Minnesota Wild have pursued it in the past. And we're merely following the process here set forward with that plate. And certainly, I think we have great interest with all the other sports teams of finding ways that we can bring charitable dollars here into our state and our communities.
And thank you for that answer. And I don't mean to put you on the spot.
That's fine.
I would ask that maybe the Vikings and the other professional teams at least entertain the idea. You probably would sell lots and lots of license plates. I mean, I really think that would happen. And I'm just wondering if it couldn't be agreed to by the various professional teams to do something along the lines of a multiple teams on a particular plate, or if folks want to buy just the individual professional sport plate, they would have that option. So it's simply an idea. I would ask that you consider it, maybe go back to the Vikings and talk to the other professional sports about that idea. And it would maybe help us here at the legislature a little bit. Any questions from any of our members? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You're a great chair to hear these bills. I don't think I did hear these bills when I was the chair. I just got rolled on the floor. That's how the people got their license plates. That's how we got the golf license plate. That was a Tomasoni special, by the way. So appreciated your comments. And I won't expound, other than I made a pretty funny joke this morning, which I have to tell you, when I was talking to my my DFL members about license plates and how I don't like them, but the horses left the barn on them. And I said, but pretty soon we're going to have a license plate that's going to raise money to get horses back into barns. And it's going to have a beautiful photo of barns and horses on it. So I appreciate your comments. I did want to note, though, just for the record, that the Vikings, this is to their credit, did comply with the requirements of Section 168.1293, Subdivision 2. I'm looking at their collateral material here, and they paid an application fee, they did a market study, you know, and, you know, did all the things that they're supposed to. I think that's the first time I've ever seen a license plate applicant actually conform to the law, rather than asking for the exemption from those provisions. So that's their credit, not that I'm necessarily sold on the idea of yet another specialty license plate. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. Any other members that... Senator Carlson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I have to add my humor to the Senator, Senator Dibble's humor. This committee has only two types of people on it, those that have already done a license plate and those that are about to.
There's one exception sitting right here.
You're about to. But, yeah, we had, I think, a House member, Bernie Leiter, who did not like license plates and held them up for years. We did have Dan Larson in the Senate, who did not like specialized license plates and held them up here. You know, former Chair Dibble was not in favor of license plates, and he fell under the spell. I didn't like license plates, and I've since had female veterans, a vertical motorcycle, you know, all sorts of them that I've finally passed. And I think there will be some day when we do have to corral the horses back, although we do have something that I'm sure you're aware of, is that is, if there is a certain number of plates that are not sold, that they become, it gets automatically repealed. So that is something that, you know, we need to make sure that we have enough promise that there's going to be specialty plates sold at the right level so that it can continue. I have a vanity plate on my car, so I can't say anything negative.
I have nothing to be vain about, so I do not have one. As you can... A lot of finger pointing going up here. We're having a little fun at the expense of the Vikings. I hope you don't mind. But as you can tell, you know, license plates, we do get a little bit of pushback from members on them. And again, I would encourage you to maybe explore that other idea. Maybe it would cut down on a number of them, because ultimately, what could happen is exactly what Senator Dibble alluded to, and that will put the genie back in the bottle. Just think about that, and I would offer my compliments to the Vikings. As Senator Dibble pointed out, you complied with the statute, whereas an awful lot of the others do not. So my compliments to the Vikings. Senator Coleman, any final words before we lay the bill over?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for what it's worth, I believe there's a bill floating around out there that takes license plates out of our purview and no longer our problem, which, you know, we might want to give consideration to. But with this particular license plate, I have no doubt that it'll quickly become one of the most popular plates we'll see on the roads in Minnesota. And each dollar is going to go towards the Vikings Foundation to do some great work in this state. So I thank you so much for your time and consideration today. I really appreciate it. And thank you to my testifiers for coming out.
Thank you, Senator Coleman. With that, Senate file 2649 is laid over.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we're going to go a little bit out of order here, members. We're going to take Senator Curran next. He is here on Senate file 3468. Senator Curran, welcome to the Transportation Committee. Whenever you are ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was trying to catch your attention out there. I had an amendment to add a Green Bay Packer plate.
You did not get my attention.
Senator, might sell more. I'm just kidding.
Senator Curran.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Happy to present to you Senate File 3468. And what 3468 is a bill that it takes money that was originated in a special revenue fund, fund that's filled by fees charged by the MnDOT for bulk data requests, and it was an appropriation originally intended for the Office of the Legislative Auditor to do the auditing. It was originally passed about 6 years ago, but the funding appropriation was vetoed. What this bill does is it makes that appropriation to the Office of the Legislative Auditor, and so it'll move about from a day forward perspective, it'll add around $225,000 to the Office of the Legislative Auditor. And then it also then appropriates another around $100,000 because of the accumulated $1.3 million in funds that have collected over or accrued over the last 6 years. And so this simply takes those and appropriates those dollars to its original intended goal to add resources to the Office of the Legislative Auditor. So with that, Mr. Chair, that's it. With that, my testimony.
Ms. Randall, are you here to testify or answer questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Judy Randall, Legislative Auditor, just here to answer questions. Thanks.
Thank you for coming. Any questions from any members? Seeing none.
Mr. Chair, it's Senator Kent.
Senator Kent.
Sorry.
My apologies. I didn't look in the screen.
I couldn't find my button on the screen fast enough.
Go
Sorry
ahead.
Having worked on the original legislation for this particular aspect, I'm not concerned about the financial part of this, but the question I would ask Ms. Randall is this bill also removes a lot of language from current statute that has to do with the data privacy side of this and what the concerns were as that bulk data information is sold and used and to make sure that Minnesotans' private data is protected. And so I would just ask, particularly Ms. Randall, but if Senator Curran wants to weigh in as well, why are we taking those protections out in terms of being specified, and what does this mean moving forward?
Ms. Randall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Kent, thank you for the question. It's a good question. The language was initially put in, as Senator Curran said, in 2014, because there were concerns regarding how DPS was selling the bulk data and the oversight of the purchasers of that data. I will note that we actually did a report on this topic in August of 2020, auditing these funds and the sale of this data. So I guess in terms of deleting the specific language, I think, first of all, we don't need the specific language to have the authority to audit it. We would do that on a regular basis. And the way we conduct our work and choose where we audit is based on risk and vulnerability and allegations we may receive and how long it's been. And so I think it's important for the independence of the office to be able to have the flexibility to go where it's needed. It would be pretty unusual, frankly, for us to be directed to look at one specific function within state government kind of always and then have dedicated funding just for that purpose. So the way the original language is constructed is fairly unusual compared to the way we handle our work.
Senator Kent.
Thank you. Well, the whole episode was very unusual at the time. But I know the circumstances, part of the circumstances that have to do with the old legacy system and being able to keep a good eye on that data have been obviously removed since then. But this is a unique data issue for Minnesotans with a problematic history. And so as this moves forward, I'm gonna wanna continue having conversations about it and making sure that we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater here. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kent. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so I've heard this bill in my committee, state government, and it was well supported, voted out of committee, and this is very unusual language to require. And if you may have noticed, any of you who might have during a period of time wanted to require the legislative auditor to do something, every member of the Audit Commission rises up and says, Senator Rest, Senator Kiffmeyer, Senator Curran, everybody rises up and says, We need to preserve the independence of the office, and they have earned our trust in regards to making choices of how to spend these funds, and they have a lot more information about risks. And what we don't want to do is be directing unnecessarily, but also when you require an expenditure like this that may not really need it, then you're not doing an audit of something else that does really need it. And all we as senators, in a very bipartisan fashion, have made special review requests to the legislative auditor, and frequently the response is, if they have the money, we will do it. And so for us here in the legislature, we want to make the best use of the OLA funds that are there and not tie their hands into an expenditure that doesn't have some of the meaning and purpose. Their responsibilities also are to regularly and routinely, they have their own schedule where they do audits and do consider all of the agencies, but we want them to make best use of the resource and this money in particular. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. Now, any other? I don't see any hands up on the screen. Senator Curran, any final words before I lay your bill?
Mr. Chair, we just appreciate the support, and it's a great use to finally get those dollars appropriated so the Office of the Legislative Auditor can enhance their opportunity to serve the legislature and the citizens of Minnesota.
Thank you, Senator Curran. With that, Senate File 3468 is laid over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, next we're going to take Senator Jasinski's bill 3867. Senator Jasinski, I understand you have an author's amendment, the A1, is that correct?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I would like to move the A1 amendment.
Members, on this A1 amendment, author's amendment, all those in favor of the A1, please signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for allowing me not to be the last testifier on St. Patrick's Day on a Thursday at 4 o'clock. So I do appreciate that. Senate File number 3867, as amended, is talking about document fees for dealers, Minnesota auto dealers. As you well know and members on this committee know, there was a time motion study done, an independent review of the deputy registers last year. This item kind of follows along those lines. Minnesota auto dealers have done the same thing and done a study on the time it takes to do documentation administration fees when you sell a car. So we're looking at that. We're looking at increasing those fees. And again, today is just a maximum. We're not saying they have to increase them. It's a maximum. We work with the stakeholders. The original bill was higher. We've staggered that up over time. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Amber Backus, with the Minnesota Auto Dealers here today to testify on behalf of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Jasinski. Ms. Backus, please state your full name, with whom you are associated, and proceed.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Amber Backus. I'm Vice President of Public Affairs with the Minnesota Automobile Dealers Association. We represent 350 new car franchise dealers located across the state of Minnesota, and appreciate your time on this bill and Senator Jasinski for bringing it forward. We are supporting the bill. As you can see in the language before you, Minnesota statute allows dealers to charge a documentary fee to recoup their costs associated with preparing, handling, and processing paperwork on behalf of a customer who's buying or leasing a vehicle. This covers both commercial transactions for the customer, such as paying off a loan on a trade-in, and government-mandated functions like processing the vehicle title and registration, which we're required to do under Minnesota law. With the advent of MnDrive, the bulk of the work for entering and pulling together the title and registration has shifted to the dealer and occurs earlier in the sales process. This has increased the workload of dealership personnel and cost to dealerships, leading many of our members to raise concerns that the statutory cap on the dock fee isn't covering their costs. So as Senator Jasinski said, to validate their concerns, our association decided to follow the Rick King model established by this committee and hired a consulting firm, CLA, to provide an independent evaluation, including time and motion studies, to determine dealership costs of handling customer paperwork. CLA also evaluated the results of an electronic survey of our membership and did a comparison of what other states allow, and the findings are as follows. The results of the time and motion studies and member survey were closely aligned. On average, dealerships spend 4 hours handling paperwork associated with the sales transaction at a cost of $324 to $409. As far as how our current dock fee aligns with other states, we're in the minority. 31 states do not regulate the amount of the fee, and of the 19 that do, we are second lowest after California. So as the senator said, the bill before you raises the statutory cap to $350 over 3 years, allowing dealers the ability to recover their costs and be made whole while continuing to provide consumer protection through your regulation of the maximum fee. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Jasinski.
Also one comment. The A1 amendment also caps it at 10% of the value of the car. So for the lower value cars, that would not be the full fee. It's just to work to make sure that we're not overcharging the lower valued cars to make it fair for everyone. So,
member questions on Senator Jasinski's bill? I am not seeing any questions from members. Final word, Senator Jasinski, on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and again, thank you for allowing to hear Senate File 3867. Again, we work with the stakeholders to find peace in the valley that everyone is agreeable to, so we'll fortunately have a good bill that will proceed forward and hope we'll get passed to help out our auto dealers here in Minnesota.
With that, Senate File 3867, as amended, is laid over. Members, before we take up the last bill, we're going to recess for a very short period of time to the call of the chair. I would estimate 5 minutes. Last bill on our agenda is Senate File 2647, Senator Coleman's bill, and there has been a change. I had indicated earlier all of the bills would be laid over. There will this bill will be sent to general orders, and I am not aware of any controversy on this bill at all, but I just wanted to give members a heads up that that is a slight change. Senator Coleman, to your bill 2647.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for what it's worth, I don't mind being the last one on St. Patty's Day on a Thursday because I have no life outside of this and my kids. So this is the highlight of my St. Patrick's Day. Well, thank you, members. This is the bill's third stop, so I can do this in my sleep at this point. This is a very straightforward bill to add a township representative to MnDOT's Local Road Improvement Program Advisory Committee. For those who don't know, the Local Road Improvement Program, or LRIP, provides funding assistance to local agencies for constructing or reconstructing local roads. Projects are selected through a competitive solicitation process using criteria and recommendations from the LRIP Advisory Committee. The committee's membership consists of one county commissioner, one county engineer, one city engineer, and two city council members or city administrators. So this bill is pretty straightforward. The various city and county organizations are neutral on the bill, and no one else has expressed concerns. Mr. Chair, it just adds one member for the local townships. And I do have a testifier, Mr. Jeff Krieger, Executive Director for the Minnesota Association of Townships.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Krieger, welcome to the committee. Identify yourself for the record with whom you are associated and proceed, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jeff Krieger. I am the Executive Director of the Minnesota Association of Townships. I do want to thank Senator Coleman for offering this bill up. And I also want to give thanks to the large cities, small cities, and counties for their cooperation with this bill as well. As Senator Coleman has indicated that this is a non-controversial bill. All stakeholders that are part of this have given their blessing, or don't have offense to it, I should say, and we definitely support 2647. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Krieger. Members, any questions? I'm looking for Senator Kent. she's remote, and I keep skipping over her. I do not see any questions from any members. Senator Coleman, any final words? And then I would entertain a motion to send this bill, recommend it to pass, and put it on general orders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No closing comments other than thanks for the time today, and I hope everyone goes and has a green beer.
And your motion.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that Senate File 2647 do pass and be referred to general orders.
All those in favor of Senator Coleman's motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion passes, and the bill is on general orders. Thank you, Senator Coleman.
Thank you.
I'm sitting here thinking there must be a whole lot of Irishmen on this committee today because it's only 4:05 and we're done. So have a nice evening, everyone. We are adjourned.